Fast Eddie here at Greater Wilmington Airport talking to Reno race pilot Joe Gaino. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, Eddie. How are you today?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Just to give everybody a little bit of a lead here, Joe Gaino just took me up for a ride. Joe Gaino just took me up for a ride in his modified L-29 Reno race plane. What a kick.
L-39.
L-39. That's right.
Yeah, the L-29's out there. We got one of them, too.
All right, let me do that again.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Thank God for editing.
You got that right. Yeah. And thank you, editors. Well, I'm out here. Yeah. Joe Gaino here just took me for a ride in his highly modified L-39, and what a ride that was. Very impressive airplane. I wish I could have one myself. So anyway, Joe, what's it take to become a race pilot out of Reno?
Well, racing, there are multiple levels of racing at Reno. You can race biplanes, you can race little home builds, and you can race World War II fighter planes. And now, and much more recently, you're able to race jets. To race a jet takes a lot. Primarily, what it really takes is a military flying background. Most of the jet racers have Air Force fighter pilot or Navy fighter pilot backgrounds. We've got a few folks that are civilians that have worked their way up through the other classes. That's the first big step, is to have the skill sets to do it. And then you've got to have the desire. And the desire to go real fast, real low. A lot of folks get out there and take a couple of turns around the course and say, I'd rather do this at like 30,000 feet. But then the other step, of course, is to have the resources to be able to do it. And the good news is that an entry-level jet like an L-29, a stock L-29, which will give you a heck of a ride on the course, is just not all that expensive. You can buy them today for $50,000.
Oh, my God.
And so you bring your ride and race and have some fun. But once again, the flying background is very critical. And there are several folks out there that are that own aircraft that don't fly them. They have professional pilots that fly them for them. And that does make a lot of sense, because it's the skill levels required at the speeds that we're flying at, which are over 500 miles an hour for those of us that are at the top end, really create some significant challenges as far as course orientation, G-loads, passing, all that stuff. And so the level of skill is a little bit beyond what perhaps some of the other classes have. You know, the unlimited pilots are all pretty much cut out of the same cloth. But we're finding that the pathway for new pilots is either out of the military or from the other classes, folks that have had experience racing some of the propeller aircraft in either the formula or the sport class.
Well, it sounds like it's quite a challenge. What kind of training do you have to go through to get to be a Reno race pilot?
Well, once you decide that you want to become a Reno race pilot and you've got yourself a ride, you need to attend Pylon Racing School, which is about a five-day school out at Reno, held every June. We call it Rookie School. A lot of us go out there to practice. It's the only other time you get waived airspace to practice. But the first thing you've got to do is meet the requirements to get by our standardization evaluation pilot, Kurt Brown. And if he accepts your credentials for the school, then you get a chance to come out there. And it's a very rigorous program, six hops over 3 days and many hours of ground school, and a lot of work on formation. Formation skills are really critical. And so that's what a lot of the emphasis is, that and flying low on the course. And if things work out, you get certified as a race pilot, and we look forward to seeing you in September.
What kind of preparations do you have to do to the aircraft to get it ready to race at Reno?
Well, one of the things about racing jets at Reno is you can literally bring your ride. Even those of us that have modified our airplanes very highly can operate these aircraft as you'd operate any jet warbird. The primary, you can literally bring a stock L-29 and race it, and there are going to be a couple here this year that are stock. Now, if you want to, once you get out here and you kind of get a taste of it and you begin to feel like, wow, you know, this is really cool, maybe I want to go a little bit faster, then what you begin to do is find bits and pieces that you are approved to take off to lighten the aircraft up that don't really affect the performance of the aircraft. But by making the aircraft lighter, you can make it go faster. We move the CG back. We have very, very, very centered CGs. It's right on the aft limits to make the aircraft very responsive in the turns. It also aids with the higher end of the flight envelope in terms of the speeds that you can attain. That's a start. And then there are plenty of other things that you can do. For example, you can take in a stock L-29, and what we've done with ours is we've modified it with a Rolls-Royce Viper engine, which about doubles the thrust and takes it pretty much up to its limiting Mach. So the range goes literally from just taking your airplane out there and going flying to actually putting a hot rod engine in it and taking it right to the limits.
Well, that sounds pretty wild. What is it like when you're in a formation there and you're rounding the pylons? What kind of G-forces are you pulling into turns?
Well, one of the ways to really describe the Reno Air Race is that you're going around a closed course at speed, 100 feet off the ground, with a bunch of guys that you're flying formation with that don't really want you flying formation with them. And so as you round it, the passing pilot is the one that really has to make sure that he keeps both aircraft in sight and make sure that he's on top of that until he's safely clear of the aircraft he's passing. And it's also the duty of all the other aircraft on the course. The main rule is you just never turn right. You just always keep that aircraft in a left-hand turn. There's just no way drifting right or drifting in other aircraft is something that it's just drilled in at pylon racing school. We just don't do it. So,
well, when you go to pylon racing school, what is the curriculum consist of?
Well, there are several hours of ground school the first day. There's a major brief on operations by the FAA and the Reno Air Race Association, also giving you that day, that describes the basic rules and regulations of the courses. You're gonna get handed before you get there, 40 or 50 pages of Reno Air Race rules, and then another 20, 30 pages of jet class rules. You've got to know those cold, and then once you've gotten through the ground school or the start of the ground school, then the next step is to get into a race plane with an instructor pilot, and you start doing some laps on the course. And once they're comfortable that you can do some laps on the course and work on passing, and then we work on the key thing, which is a formation. One of the things that people, I think, miss is that when we line up to race, we line up as many as eight jets on a pace plane, which is nine aircraft. And as we come around Peavine Mountain to come down the chute to start the race, we've got nine aircraft line abreast, and I don't even know if there's an aerobatic team anywhere in the world that lines up nine aircraft line abreast. And we've got multiple type aircraft and pilots with all sorts of backgrounds, so there's a tremendous amount of emphasis on formation flying and discipline that goes into that, because that's a pretty scary lineup. The other problem is that it's got to be a tight lineup, because we've got FAA deadlines we can't drift out over, or we start getting in trouble with the FAA, because it's a fairly tight course as you come down around that first down that chute.